In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and into magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will say unto my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature 1 cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's reading quite a bit there. Now then, I want to talk with you just a little bit tonight, say a few things to you. I want you to notice here, people came to Jesus wanting him to divide the inheritance among them, but came to him with many problems, and he noticed as he preached to the people that they were trying to cover up their sins. He perceived it in his spirit, and he said to them, he said, there's not one thing that's covered that's not going to be revealed. I want to say to you tonight, folks, I made mention this morning how that the whole army of Israel was troubled Just because one man went out, Brother Gonzalez, and hit a golden wedge. He had his mind on something of the world, and he went out and he hit a golden wedge. And because of that, the Bible said all of Israel was troubled. And there is nothing covered that's not going to be revealed. You may feel like that you're going to get by with these things that you're covering up, and you may think that God doesn't know anything about them. And I know you don't like what I say a lot of times when I'm preaching. I feel your spirits, and I feel you rise up against me. But I tell you tonight in the name of the Lord, there is nothing that you have covered that's not going to be revealed, and God's going to bring it to the surface, and every eye is going to behold it, and they're going to see your iniquity, for the Bible said your folly shall be made manifest. God will manifest your folly to the saints of God. You may think that you're going to get by with it. One place he told them, he said, you may think I'm altogether such a one as you are. He said, but there'll come a time when I'll prove you or reprove you face to face. There'll come a time when I'll stand before you and reprove you face to face. And he said, if you add unto my word, he said, someday I will reprove you face to face. There's a lot of people that someday God's going to stand face to face with them and reprove them for their iniquity. The Bible said in one place, be sure your sins will find you out. I want to tell you something. When calamities befall you out on the highway and around the country, your sins are beginning to find you out. Why does homes burn to the ground? Why does things happen to people? Why does things happen to people's children? Why does things happen to people's cars? Why does things happen to people's homes? It's because your sins will find you out. You may think they won't, but there'll come a time when they'll find you out. God will see to it that your sins will find you out. There is nothing covered, Jesus said, that shall not be revealed. There is nothing that's covered that won't be brought to the light someday, somewhere. If Jesus tarries, it's going to be brought to the light. And you might as well to remember it. You may cover it up for a time. You may do like you want to. You may pass it off. The preacher may preach to you. You might say, well, that doesn't matter. But I tell you, it does matter. It does matter. Someday, somewhere, God's going to reprove you face to face, and you're going to see that He's not like you are. Now then, according to the Scripture, the Bible said here that if you cover your sins, ye shall not prosper. Why is it some of you have no prosperity among you? Now, I'm not supposing that worldly gain is godliness. I'm not trying to put you to a test to see how many automobiles you can drive or how many homes you can own. The Bible said having food and raiment, be therewith content. But why is it that you get into the fix that you get into? Some of you will be going along real good, and all of a sudden you get to where you don't even have bread in your house. Why? Because you mumble, you grumble, and you complain. God will start blessing you. He'll start lifting you up. He'll start doing something for you. And you just can't be satisfied with it. The first news you know, you're grumbling, and you're murmuring, and you're complaining, and you're taking the preacher apart over at your house around the dinner table. And the first news you know, you're flat. Why? Because the Bible said there's nothing covered that won't be brought to the light. Said he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He shall not prosper. You're never going to prosper like that. Somebody said the reason I don't prosper is because I give it all to you. Well, you take my advice and you keep it here. You take my advice. If you're not prospering because you give to me, you take my advice. For God's sake and for my sake, you keep it. Because I'll tell you one thing, if you're investing in something that's supposed to be the work of God, and if you're not prospering, you better keep it, because you're straightway bidding something Godspeed that's not of the Lord. The Bible said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. Yeah, I'll tell you this, the reason some of you don't prosper is because, as Brother Floyd Owen said up here, he said, one time I gave grudgingly unto the Lord. The Bible said God loveth a cheerful giver. He said, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's where the problem is. When you give it, you give it. You don't give it freely. You don't give it with a good, hearty desire to give unto the Lord. You don't put your spirit behind it. You'd rather keep it. And that causes you not to prosper in the Lord. So then, if you're not prospering because you're giving to Brother Pike, I want to say that again. You take my advice and you keep what you got. Don't you give it to me. If you're over there going without bread because you're giving to Brother Pike, then there must be something wrong with Brother Pike.
Amen.
That's the way I feel about it. That's right. But I'll tell you what. Everybody that I know of that's ever given to this ministry that didn't live a hypocritical life, that tried to live right, that tried to do right, every person I know of is prospered. Just like Jesus said to Cain one time when the Lord spoke to him, he said, "Why is it your sacrifice is not accepted?" He said, "Because sin lieth at the door." That's why. Why is it your brother gets blessed and you don't get blessed? Because you can't breathe down your wife's collar every day and treat her like a dog and God bless you. And wife, you can't bow up at the husband every day and then come to church and sit with a pious face and God bless you. And daddy, you can't let the young'uns run rampage everywhere, get up in the pulpit and preach the gospel and expect God to overlook it. Somebody said, "Well, I don't think it's wrong what my daughter or my son's doing." I don't care what you think about it. God didn't ask you what you thought about it. It's what God's Word says about it. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Pike, I just don't feel like it's wrong to sit and drink the filthy things of television all day long. I don't think it's wrong to suck on cigarettes and chew on the cud all day long." God didn't ask you what you thought about it. Somebody said, "Well, I just don't have time to go out and pray and fast." God didn't ask you if you had time. He said, "Take time to be holy." I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's not what you think about it. That doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not what you feel about it. Somebody said, "Well, I just got a certain feeling." Well, if your feeling don't agree with the Word of God, your feeling's of the devil. It's not how you feel about it. It's not what you think about it. It's what God's Word says about it. What did the Word say about it? I thank God for one thing. In my lifetime, I've learned to forget about my feelings, Brother Taylor. There's been many times I didn't feel like the Word did about it. I've learned to forget about my feelings. I've learned to forget about what my wife says. I've learned to forget about what my children say. I've learned to forget about what my neighbor says. I've taken what God's Word said about it. And whatever His Word says about it, I've found it to be right, Brother Tommy. And if I stay with the Word, it always works out right. But every time I listen to my neighbor, every time I listen to my children, every time I listen to my friends, I always get in trouble. But when I go by the Word, everything works out right. What is it? If you're not prospering tonight, let me tell you something. You're wrong. There's something wrong with you. The Bible said, "Whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper." I don't care if it ain't nothing but plant a peanut patch. If he wants to sell popcorn out on the corner. God said, "Whatever he does shall prosper." He'll be like a tree that's planted by the waters. He'll bring forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaves shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I know a lot of you'd love to see my leaves wither, but I got news for you. I'm going to stay with Jesus. And a lot of people would want to see my leaves wither. You've had dreams about me this way and dreams about me that way. And I know some of your dreams is of the Lord, and I appreciate those. But the Bible speaks of filthy dreamers. Your spirit's not with me and it's not for me. And your desire is to see me go down. But I got news for you. I'm going to be like a tree planted by the water. Hallelujah. I found out where the water was. Brother Gonzalez, when I left the dry branch, I found out where the water was. I'm going to be like the tree Brother John planted by the water. I'll tell you one thing, every time this old preacher here begins to think the waters is drying up, he begins to dig a little deeper in the storehouse of the Lord. Amen. I don't intend for my leaves to wither. They don't have to wither. Somebody said everybody's got a weakness. Everybody hasn't got a weakness. That's some old something the devil drug up out of the pit somewhere to get you to believe you got a weakness and you got a weakness and you got a weakness so the devil can come along and he can tear every one of you down. But you don't have to have a weakness. Amen. There's nothing in the Bible said everybody's got a weakness. The Bible said to be ye therefore perfect, even thy Father in heaven is perfect. There ain't nothing in the Word of God that says man's got a weakness. The only weakness he got is just letting the devil get a hold of him. That's all. You don't have to have a weakness. Somebody said, well, I'm just weak in mind. Well, if you're weak in mind, it's because you let the devil do it. The Bible said all of them that belong to God's of a good understanding. And the Bible said we know that we are of a sound mind. If you're letting the devil run you crazy, it's something wrong with you. I know you can press yourself and break yourself down. I realize that maybe some of you have. I don't know how much you've studied. And if you're breaking yourself down for the word of the Lord, that's good. As a matter of fact, last night, I believe it was last night, I had a night vision. And I saw somebody that was breaking themselves down. As far as I could tell, is breaking themselves down mentally. And I'm going to say this to you. If you'll quit wanting to know so much about what Brother Pike's going to do and what the church is going to do and begin to get in and do something for the Word, you won't be in that kind of condition. And the vision last night was a warning that you need to do something. So you listen to me. Get your mind on doing something for the Lord. Leave the leadership up to God. And let God speak to them that He wants to speak to about the leadership. Instead of sitting around trying to figure out what we're going to do and they're going to do and these are going to do, leave it alone. Go throw your Ouija board out in the river somewhere. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? Don't you believe the Holy Ghost is with me? I know the Holy Ghost is with these people. And I know He'll show you things and I know He'll tell you things, Dad. But I also know that you can get out from the Holy Ghost. Like I had a dream where somebody had a Ouija board. I said the other night, I don't even know what a Ouija board is. But they was taking numbers and trying to figure this out and figure that out by numbers. You can't figure it out. It's what God has to reveal about it. You don't have to figure it out anyway. It's the Word of the Lord. So then what is it? You can't do that, can you? You leave that alone and let God reveal it. That's the trouble with the church world today. That's the trouble with the church body today. Instead of letting God speak to the leaders, everybody wants to know what's going to happen. Let the children in the home try to figure out what daddy's going to do. Let mother come over and try to figure out what daddy's going to do. And the first news you know, you got the whole house upside down. Somebody said, I just can't depend on my husband. He just don't know. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you get rid of that devil you got and start depending on your husband and let your husband lead you, if he's any kind of man at all, he'll get straightened out and you'll be able to talk with him. I'm going to tell you this. If your husband, if he's one of these that bends this way and bends that way, and you can flip him over this way and the youngins can flip him over that way, he's just up and down just like a jellyfish over and over and over, I tell you right now, I feel sorry for you. You know what you need to do, wife, if you got one like that? Or somebody says, I'm just so proud of him. Why couldn't you be proud of him? Because you can do him like a jellyfish. That's why you're proud of him. You can make him dance to your tune. Honey, you're the sweetest person. I just love you. I can just see more in you than anybody else. All right, let's see if she really can. You cross her one time and see what happens to her. You'll see how much she sees out of you. You know what you need to do, wife? You need to grow up and be a real woman of God and go to your husband. point your finger in his face and say, stop being a jellyfish. And stand up and be a man. I'll tell you what, you might like to flip him around now. But you wait, you stand before the great judgment throne of God and you see the fiery burning eyes of God Almighty. Then you'll wish you had a husband that wasn't a jellyfish. Amen. You say, Brother Pike, that's kind of hard. I know it is. I know it is, but this is what we need. This is what we need. There is nothing covered that's not going to be revealed. Folks, you listen at me. He that covereth his sins, he will not prosper. He that covereth his sins will not prosper. I'm going to say it again. He that covereth his sins, he will not prosper. Okay, what does the Bible say? I would above all things that you prosper. Is that Bible? I would above all things that you prosper. Is that right? All right. The man shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters. He shall prosper. The Bible said, Brother Ernie, he shall prosper. If you don't prosper, you're breaking the word of God unless you're guilty of transgression and the scriptures can't be broken. So if you don't prosper, it's got to be that you're transgressing somewhere. That goes for me and you too, Betty. It doesn't matter what he does, God's got to prosper it. He got to prosper it. Amen. He'll be like a tree planted by the water. Whatever he does, he'll prosper. And not only will he prosper, but the Bible said, if your ways please God, he makes thine enemies to be at peace with you. And the Bible said, his leaves shall not wither. It ain't going to wither up. You need to look for it. It ain't going to come. It ain't going to come. So then what is it? Jesus said, if a man will confess his sins. Now I want you to hear this, folks. He said, if you will confess your sins. If you will confess your sins. Somebody say, well, the Catholics do that. I know it. But he said, he that confesseth his sin and he that forsaketh his sins shall prosper. Is that Bible? Not only prosper, Ernie, but it says whatever he does will prosper. Yes, sir. He's got to do it. The scriptures can't be broken. So then here we find as the multitudes came to Jesus, the Bible said there were so many of them that they just walked right one right over another trying to get to him. Why? Because they knew that he had the words of eternal life. Somebody said, well, I sure would like to find the words of eternal life. I'll tell you one thing. The Bible said if this gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. The reason that you can't get it, the reason it doesn't register, the reason it doesn't go down within your heart is because you're lost. God's blinded your eyes. He's hid it from you. You're lost, lost, lost. You know what it means to be lost? I don't think you know what it means to be lost. You've heard me tell how that one morning I got out into the woods. I'd never been lost before. I got out in the woods and I was wandering around in the woods and I went down there quite a ways from home. And I'd never been in the woods before in that area. And friend, I want you to know that I got lost. I got lost. Now, let me tell you something. You can be lost and it's not too much worry until suddenly it dawns on you that you're lost. I was lost, Brother Taylor, and I wasn't worried about it because I thought home wasn't too far away, and it really wasn't. I wasn't worried about it because it hadn't dawned on me that I was lost. A lot of you people are lost. But it's not dawned on you that you're lost. But I'm going to tell you something. When all of a sudden it dawned on me that I was lost, that was one of the most terrorizing feelings I ever had in my life. I never experienced a feeling like it. I started to go over this way, and I said, wait a minute.
That's not the way. And I said, this is the way. I started over this way and I said, no, wait a minute, that can't be the way. And then I said, but it's over this way. And then all of a sudden I stopped and I said, George Pike, you're going to have to admit you've lost. And night was coming. And there I was in the woods. And night was coming and I didn't know my way back to the house. And I tell you what a sick, empty feeling I got. Lost. And darkness was beginning to fall on me. That's just exactly where some of you are at right now, neighbor. You are lost just so sure as I'm standing behind the sacred desk. You are lost. And the darkness is beginning to fall upon you, and you've not realized that you're lost. But when it does dawn on you, oh, the terror and the heartaches and the sorrow that it's going to bring into your life. Oh, you say, it'll never happen to me. It'll happen to you just so sure as I stand here tonight. Some of you are lost. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean to stand up there and tell me that there's people sitting in your congregation lost? It's just the way that I understand what I know from God. There's some of you here tonight that's lost. You better let it dawn on you that you're lost. You say, well, now, Brother Pike, what if I am lost? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. You got a good opportunity to get right with God, I hope. You say, you hope? What do you mean you hope? You want me to be honest with you about it, don't you? When I preached this morning that last 19 years come up to 66, that the time of the Gentiles, the light began to go out. I meant that. I don't know whether you can be saved or not. What's the matter with you, preacher? I'm just being honest with you about it. Does any of you preachers know whether they can be saved or not? If you do, you're welcome to tell them. I'm telling you just like I understand it. You might have waited too long already. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If there is an opportunity for you to be saved, you better run just as hard as you can. You better get right with God. Not only get right with God, but the Bible said make your calling and election sure. You better start living right and forsaking your feelings and denying yourself. Somebody said, well, I think maybe I'll make it in. I know that I've faltered. I know that I've failed. And I know that I stumble. But I think I'll make it in. Well, I got news for you. You're not going to make it in. No matter what you think about it, it ain't what you think about it. The Bible said, not everyone that saith the Lord, Lord, is going to make it in. But he that doeth the word, he that liveth the word, he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Are you doing the will of God? Somebody said, well, kinda. Ain't no kinda about it. You either are or you ain't. You either are or you ain't. You say, well, I just can't believe it. Well, that's okay. If you can't believe it, that's okay. If that's the case, it's okay. But I'm going to tell you something. I've told you the word of the Lord tonight. I've told you that some of you are not right with God. In this congregation, there's some of you that's not going on with God, and you know that you're not going on with God, and you've got your mind on everything but God. And I'm telling you in the name of the Lord tonight, you better repent of your sins, and I don't mean repent of your sins and just say, Lord, forgive me, but I mean you better forsake your sins. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sins, he'll find mercy. I'm going to come to a close, and I'm going to say this. I've said this many times. We, somehow or another, I don't know why we do this, but we as a people seem to get the idea that all we've got to do is just make up our minds that we're going to serve God, and we can just come right into the kingdom of the Lord, and that settles it. But I'm going to tell you, that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Esau made up his mind that he wanted the birthright. The Bible said he sought repentance with bitter tears and found no place of repentance. Why? Because he'd sold his birthright. Brother, when you sell your birthright and your birthright's gone and somebody else has taken your crown, you can repent all you want to. You can pray all you want to. You can call on God all you want to. But I'll tell you what will happen to you, and you watch and see. You'll repent tonight in bitter tears. Tomorrow you'll go back out with your same haughty spirit. Why? Because you didn't find no place of repentance. You'll repent of your sins tonight. You'll confess your sins. You'll ask God to forgive you. You'll do your best to do right. But tomorrow, day after tomorrow, you're back in the same mud hole again, talking about your neighbors, gossiping, mumbling, grumbling, and complaining. The Bible said, do all things without murmuring. You're back in the same slop hole you was in before you ever repented. Why? You found no place of repentance. The Bible said for the saints of God to pray that God in heaven would grant unto you repentance unto life. That's why you pray for the world. Intercession to be made for all men, Paul said. We must pray that God will grant repentance. And folks, I'm telling you something. There's not one in this building that I know of, but what I prayed for you again and again and again and again and again. While you was on your bed at night, I prayed for you that God would grant repentance unto life unto you. But you still don't pay any attention to the word. You say, Brother Pike, we come to church. We're giving the offering. We sing. That's not enough. You've got to live right. You've got to live right. What is living right? Doing the will of the Father. Obeying the word. Making up in your mind once and for all, God live, die, sink, or swim. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. I'm not going to let my haughty, mean, contrary spirit cause me to be separated from the Spirit of God. That ain't easy, is it? That takes some swallowing down. This is why the Bible said, he that sweareth to his own hurt. This is when you hurt when you do that. This is when you hurt. Sam, this is when a man hurts. When a man has to swallow down and say, no, I ain't rising up against the gospel. No, I'm not rising up against God's people. No, I'm not going to get haughty. No, I'm not going to sit in the service and be like an old sour lemon. I'm not going to sit with a spirit of disinterest. I'm not going to try to show the preacher I'm not interested in what he's talking about. I'm not going to show him I don't care about what he says. That's a devil spirit when you do that. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is the sin of idolatry. When you rebel, when you be stubborn and your spirit won't submit, you're a witch. That's your Ouija board. Let me tell you something. When you get to the place to where you're ready to swear to your own hurt, swear to your own hurt. Some of you men, this is good for you, not just the women. We got some men doing the same thing. When you get to where you can swear to your own hurt, I mean swear to it and change not. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I swore to my own hurt. I know you did. And then you change right back over, just like you flip a pancake over the pan. You might swear to it for a day. You might swear to it for a week. You might swear to it for one service. But you're going to have to swear to it once and for all and change not. You believe I'm telling you the truth? Is that Bible? He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he shall stand in the holy hill of God. That's the Bible. So then this is what we've got to do, folks. Somebody said, well, this has got me to where I just look like there just ain't no way out. You devil, that's right. There ain't no way out for you. Ain't no way. Because with the word of God, I'm going to bruise your head as long as you come into this service. Every unclean spirit that lifted itself up here, I'm to bruise your head. That's right. But I'm going to tell you something, little sheep of God, that's let that evil devil get a hold of you. If you'll turn loose of it, when I'm cutting at you, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to kill the devil that's got a hold of you. Destroy him with the word of God. And if you'll let that spirit loose, God will give you freedom from it. But if you don't, this will eventually kill you. You remember this, I'll cut at you until I kill you. You'll die with the spirit if you don't turn it loose. After a while, your faith will get so down in the dumps till you'll never be able to raise it up again. Because you know you got the word of God laying over you just like that. The Bible said, he that falleth on the word, He'll be broken in spirit. He'll come down in humility. But said, if this word ever falls upon him, it'll get so heavy till you'll go a little lower and a little lower. And you'll look up and you'll think the word of God's against me and I can't get out from under it. And the Bible said it will eventually grind you to powder. So what can we do, folks? Jesus looked at Peter, a great man, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou savest the things that be of this world and not the things that be of God. So then, if we don't turn loose of that spirit, God's going to number us with it. Is that right? He's going to number us with that spirit. And then he'll grind us to powder. Stand with me, Brother Frank. Come to the organ. You say, Brother Pike, that don't sound like teaching to me. That sounds like you being mighty hard to me. I don't believe that. I don't believe that this sermon was any harder than the sermons Jesus preached. I'm going to say this. As a matter of fact, I don't believe it was as hard as when the Lord Jesus took his own disciples, men who were faithful and loyal that stood with him, and singled out their great leader and called him before all the rest and looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. What if I single out the best one of you tonight? What if I single out the best leader you got in here? The very best one of you tonight. And I turned and looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Would that be too hard? Would you say that would be out of order? Would you say that the love of God wouldn't do a thing like that? It did do it. So then I feel I've been very light on you. When I just speak to you as a congregation, I think I've been very light on you. But I want you to know, friend, I've got the right, according to the Bible, to single you out. They that sin rebuke before all, that others might see and fear. The Lord Jesus singled Peter out, and he rebuked Peter that the rest of them might see and be afraid to do it. That's right. So I ask you in the name of the Lord, don't cause me to do that. You say you wouldn't do it, Brother Pike. Yes, I will do it. You've never done it. Yes, I have done it. Yes, sirree, I've taken the individual right in the congregation and called them out. Yes, sir, I have done it. When Jesus gave Judas a sop, Satan entered into him. Don't ever let the minister give you a sop. Because once Satan enters into you, it's too bad, folks. Let's bow our heads together. I love you tonight. This is why I preach to you like I do. This is why I speak to you as strong as I do. Because I want you to know you're going to have to do right. We've got many people. I say many people. We've got people who, according to all that God has revealed to me, are absolutely true, holy, blood-washed saints of God. We've got them in this congregation tonight. And we've got little sheep that's just starting, that's quivering and shaking, that hardly know what to do. Jesus said, Peter, feed my lambs. Now, I want your little sheep to know and your little lambs to know that you have to move up in the Lord, but God's got grace for you. And I want some of you to know that you're not little sheep. You've been in the gospel for 5 and 10 and 15 years. And you love to make yourself think that you're a little sheep because you won't live right. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not a little sheep, you're a dwarf. You've become dwarfed in your growth in God because you wouldn't go on. And the Bible said, don't bring a dwarf into the presence of God. You become halt and you become blind and you become maimed. And the Bible said God will not receive the halt nor the maimed. Don't bring those into me, he said. You must not be a half-breed, as I said this morning. You've got to be fully mature in the stature of the Lord. You've got to be growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. If you are a little sheep, God will reach out for you, folks. But if you're just plain dropped in your growth because of rebellion, you're cut out of the kingdom of God. You must come to the fullness of the stature of Jesus. Now you suit yourself. You think over these things that I tell you. They may sound hard, but at the judgment you're going to find out there were mighty light sayings. Mighty light sayings to what you're going to face up there. Swear to your own hurt. Get rid of that evil spirit. Bow down. Take a bow. Bow down. You're going to have to do it anyway. You say, Brother Pike, I'll never bow. Yes, you will bow. Yes, you will. You may bow in sorrow. You may bow in shame, but you're going to bow. You're going to break. You're going to fall on this rock and be broken, or it's going to grind you to powder. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, with your heads bowed tonight. Some of you already, it's beginning to grind to powder. It's done got so weighty on you already that you ain't even got the proper faith you need in God right now. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You're going to have to break, and you're going to have to break once and for all and stay broken. I'm going to ask Brother Gonzalez tonight, if he will, to come around up here to pulpit and pray a closing prayer. And I'm going to ask him to pray tonight for every one of you, for the healing of your body, for the breaking of the yoke from off of you, and pray that God will help you to be enlightened in these things that I'm telling you about tonight, that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I want you to come, Brother Gonzalez, if you will. I want you with your heads bowed to reverence the Lord for a few minutes while our brother prays a prayer of benediction tonight concerning you.